Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, I got a picture here. Those of you who remember, you know, back a long, long time ago, almost in another century, it was back in 2002, on July 24th, in Somerset, Pennsylvania, there was what was known as the Q Creek mine accident. And in that time, nine miners, not people under 18, but miners, people who worked in the mines, who there was an accident that happened, and nine of those miners were trapped. And they were facing a horrible time. In fact, they were trapped for 4 days. And during that time, they were really challenged, suffering hypothermia. And so they were waist deep in water while the rescuers began to try to drill down and make an escape shaft for them. So during this Q Creek accident, these individuals, of course, they were all in this very desperate situation. And the way that they survived was to think about one another. In fact, when one of them would begin to get very, very cold and the hypothermia would begin to set in, they'd all gather around and pick them up and hold them tight, and their body warmth was shared, and that would warm that person up. And then a little bit later, another person would get pretty rough, and they'd gather around them. So it was important for them to keep focusing upon others. I want you to keep that in your mind as we continue going through Mark chapter 4, probably trying to get to Mark chapter 5 today. Just a quick review as where we were talking about the storms of life. If you're with us last week, if you weren't, feel free to go online and catch up, because I think there's some important things there for us. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins and he's teaching several parables. And if you look, there's some commonality between these parables. A series of parables talking about how seed is sown, and that seed is the word of God. And how as the word of God is shared, there's opposition. Opposition comes in the form of birds of the air that come and try to steal it away. And Jesus, as he pulls the disciples aside and explains this to them, says, look, the enemy is after, as the kingdom of God is shared and is the word of God is sown and increases, the enemy comes after it. There is opposition. There's opposition in the form of a lack of depth. That then the trials come, the sun scorches them, and because they didn't have depth of root, they wither. That some of them have weeds growing around, and the weeds choke out the life of them. And some is on good soil. And so, despite all of these things, Jesus then tells them a parable that their light should shine and not be hidden. That we are called to shine the light of Christ. And that we all have a job to do, to share God's word. But we need to know that there will be opposition. And so these words are just shared and they begin to go over. So let's pick up. And I told you last week that we were going to come back and visit one part of this verse. So look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 38. This is a review from where we were last week, going a little bit deeper. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. So he's just been teaching. And now he's telling, let's go to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. Now, most of us, when we think of this story in our mind, when we've heard this story in our mind, we envision Jesus on a boat with the disciples, but that he is in the only boat, okay? And yet, at the end of verse 36, the B part of 36 says, and other boats were with him. You've probably read right over that. I know I have many times. I've looked at that and in my mind, I just think of Jesus and I just think of the disciples. Remember that in the last message, we discussed that the storms of life are quite revealing. And so they came to Jesus in the midst of the storm. And again, we went through this last week, but they woke him up with a question. Don't you care that we are perishing? You know what Jesus' response very well could have been? Don't you care that other boats are perishing? I find it really interesting that the revelation, I think that would have been a very, very appropriate response for Jesus. And I get it, that in the midst of the storm, when the storms of life are raging and the waves are crashing over the bow of your boat, it is so easy to focus only on yourself and forget the mission. By the way, Jesus had told them, look, we're going to the other side. And remember, Jesus rebuked them and talked to them about their lack of faith. Okay, why were they afraid? We went kind of deep on that last week. Why did they wait so long to bring Jesus into this? But in verse 36, to me, that just seems very, very odd that these other boats were now caught in this storm as well. Which brings me to my first point today. I just have three quick points for you. And the first one is this. Yours is not the only boat in the stormy sea. I'm not saying that your boat's not in a stormy sea. It absolutely may be. Okay? We all experience times when our boat comes in the midst of challenges, of chaos. As we said last week, whether it just be random, just like living in this fallen world, whether it's a result of our own stupid decisions, and yes, how many of you make stupid decisions from time to time? Make your own consequences, you know. They always told me, you made your bed, now you're going to have to sleep in it, right? I never understood that because I didn't make my bed. So I was like, okay, well, that means if I don't. No, you get what that means. There are some storms of life, again, we create. Some storms in life are just random that we live in a fallen world. As we said last week, some storms are, in fact, an attack of Satan. And some storms God purposes in our lives to draw things out and work things in. To draw garbage out, our image of a sponge last week. It has to be wrung out and then soak up the good and wrung out and soak up the good. But you need to know that in that process, it is so easy that you assume that yours is the only boat in the stormy sea. So I love that story about the Kew Creek miners. If each one of them would have been so consumed with their own situation and not realized that they were in it together, they would not have received the benefit of coming together and sharing their own warmth, of letting the very life inside of them encourage one another. And I get it. And we are kind of in this area where a lot of us have grown up with this mentality that when our storms hit, we batten down the hatches and we don't want anybody to know about that. Come on, somebody. And I get it. But you want to know what the root of that is? You can see a lot of us want to say, oh, well, I just don't want to bother anybody else, or God's far too busy to worry about my little thing. Okay. That means your view of God is incorrect. If you think that God doesn't care about the little things in your life, your theology is corrupt. Jesus says, look, God knows the very hairs of our head, which I know for me is not a big deal. But for some of you, and for all of us, the point of that is that God knows the intricate details in our life. And from our lesson last week, perhaps if we involved God in the small things, we would be more prepared to have faith in the larger things. God has not asked you to say, I've got it. Let me take when the hard stuff hits, that's when I'll lean into you. We need to learn to lean into him each and every day, each and every moment. As the songwriter put, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Missing from Jesus' disciples in the midst of the boat of the stormy sea is any thought, any utterance of concern for the other ships. You're not the first to go through such a storm. And I bet if you looked around, you'd realize that yours isn't the only boat. in the sea. And now, here's where it gets real tough. Because if the storm was random, well then, hey, we're all in it together. But if this storm was a purposed attack of the enemy, or it was something that God purposed for us to go through, then realize those other boats are collateral damage. If the storm of your life is a decision that you made, understand that that storm can affect other people. Hello? I know we like, well, oh well, my decisions, they just affect me. No, they don't. My decisions to jump on the utterance of God or to follow through, they affect other people in the same way that my resistance to passionately following God or my resistance to share the gospel, that has an impact on other people. Have you ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit prompts you to do something or to have a conversation and you harden your heart. Well, that might be an opportunity where you didn't scatter seed and they needed that seed scattered. Maybe that person needed encouragement. I've shared with you a few years ago of the individual in the McDonald's drive-thru who had come to this very, very difficult place in their life where they decided, and I don't know why they decided this was going to be their last meal, but they were going to go to the McDonald's drive-thru because they said, no one cares about me, I'm done. So they're going to have their final dinner, their final meal, and then go on. And what happened in that drive-thru is the person before purchased their meal, and that literally told them that they felt like the embrace of God was there in such a way that they went and sought help. One random act of kindness, one understanding that theirs is not the only boat in the stormy sea, one understanding that we are in this together. It's certainly quite normal to be focused on your boat in the storm. But we need to realize, we need to open up that there are others that God is sending us to in the midst of the storm of life. Have you ever thought about that? If you're going to help a ship that's in a storm, where are you going to be? Thank you. You're going to be in the storm yourself. Yours is not the only boat in the stormy sea. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Paul, in writing and trying to encourage the saints of Philippi, uses this. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he's in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of what, gang? A servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's hard to be used by God in the lives of others when you're only focused upon yourself. And understand, we live in the midst of a culture that is giving you message after message after message. Take care of number one. You just run your own race. You don't worry about anyone else. That is the message of our culture. Is everyone is emboldened to an over-healthy ego, an overwhelming ego, a sense of self being greater than anyone else. That's the problem, again, from a philosophical standpoint, with subjective truth. My truth, I need to herald it. I need to push that above everything else. Contrary to that cultural stand, God calls us to a life not only of service, but a life of awareness. Please be aware, yours is not the only boat in the stormy sea. You see, Jesus ministered in the storm by being that calming presence. And maybe God has you in the storm that you're in to do the same, to be that non-anxious presence, as John Mark Comer would say, in the midst of the storm. A follower of Christ is a life of sacrificial service. When will we learn that? In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus is echoing this sentiment. He says, he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, let's all read what he said. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. That's what Jesus' instruction for us. His prescription of walking out a life well lived is to realize it's not about us, that we are called to be servants of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." Okay? And finally, you think, yeah, but it's really hard to consider others' needs when the storms of life hit. I totally get that. I totally, as I told you, I'm in some storms right now. And I really do understand it. It is hard. It is absolutely hard. But also know, anecdotally, that the hardest times in my life, I have found help when I realized that I'm not the only boat in the stormy sea. There's something about getting my focus off of me and my problems and my situation that brings me perspective. In fact, I realize that God has a purpose in the midst of the storm. And His purpose is more than get me out of the storm. Maybe some of us, we need to have our prayer life challenged. Instead of God, get me out of the storm, to God, get out of the storm what you want out of the storm. Use me in the storm. You are God over the storm. Be God over me in the midst of the storm. Amen? Be God over me in the midst of the storm. You see, it's an awesome reminder that the storms of life have purpose. And God will use life's storms for good. Because think about this. In John chapter 19, Jesus was going through the most intense storm of his life. And here we see Jesus as a powerful example. He's hanging on the cross. He's literally dying. Here's what Jesus says. He's on the cross and he's looking down in verse 25. But standing at the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. Okay, skipping ahead. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that's the apostle John, he said to his mother, "Wait a minute, Jesus is in a huge storm here. And what and who is Jesus thinking about?" He's thinking about the needs of others. He says to his mom, "Woman, behold your son." And they said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Talk about an example of heart in the midst of the most, I mean, what kind of worst storm is this? He's been stripped naked, beaten, nailed to a cross. Life is ebbing from him purposely, and he's focusing on the needs of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Jesus truly was walking out this principle. Because think about it. You know, here in the storm, if we go back to Mark chapter 4, the storm is raging and suddenly the storm stops. Now, those in Jesus' boat knew why the storm stopped. They brought to him, "Look, don't you care that we're about to perish?" Obviously, he cared. Jesus came up. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. And a great peace fell. Freaked them out. Okay? We talked about that last week. But think about those in the other boat. They're sitting there tossing, turning, tossing, all of a sudden, whoomp, and they don't know why. They don't know the purpose of the storm. May I be so bold as to say that there are other people in your life who don't have any idea the why of the storm that they are in. They don't know about what Jesus can do in the midst of your storm. They need to understand. So my second point for you here today is this. Your boat can become your pulpit. Your boat can absolutely. Can you think about that? Your storm can be your platform. That rhymes. I should have done that one. Your storm can become your platform. Your boat can become your pulpit. They had an opportunity then to connect and to share what Jesus did, the power that he had. You know what? It's an amazing thing when you can share hope to somebody who's in a difficult circumstance of life. You know, it means so much to me when we can talk with people who've been through what we are going through, and they say, you know what? I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to have that fear. I know what it's like to face this issue and think, am I in this all by myself? You know what? That's a common thing for us to think, but here's what I've found is Jesus can speak a word in your storm and bring a great calm. Amen. How are they going to understand that if we don't start preaching from our boat pulpit? Well, Pastor, that's your job. I am authorizing and deputizing you all to do what God called you to do. Be a light. Remember, Jesus set this all up. You want to know what the force of the storm was? The messages that he just preached in the beginning of Mark chapter 4 about sharing the seed, the word of God, about being a light that shines, about not putting it underneath a bucket. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I love this. We read this at funerals a lot of times. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, the Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. And now we know the why. Okay, that's the what. Now the why. So that we may be able to what, church family? To comfort those who are in any affliction. You know, we could lay this over Mark 4. Hey, God is Lord over the storms of your life. And here's why he's Lord over the storms of your life. So you can help others when they're in the storm. He goes on, with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, in other words, as we follow Christ, sufferings will come. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. In other words, he's bigger than our storms. Verse 6, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also will share in our comfort. Here's what, in the Message translation, I kind of like how this is presented. Same verse, different translation here, okay? The Message. And I don't really share Message a whole lot. It's a paraphrased version. But I kind of like the feeling that this elicits here. All praise in God to the Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If we're treated well, giving a helping hand and encouraging word, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it. No doubt about it. Amen. You see, the storm was preparing the disciples. This storm, I believe chapter 4 is a class preparing them for chapter 5. Okay? So think about this. My third and final point for us here today is your storm can become your school. How many of you love to learn from storms? The truth is, there are some lessons that the storm is the only way we're going to learn them. I know that's hard. There are some lessons in life that God uses the storms to heal. I'm not necessarily saying that God is destined. He is a good God, a just God, a loving God. And I totally, totally subscribe to an understanding that in this world, I probably am not going to understand everything. But as I walk in faithfulness in the world to come, I'm going to find out that he is just, that all of his judgments are right and true. So Mark chapter 4 is preparing them. It's a classroom. It's a school for Mark 5. So what do we learn in the school, or in this class? What was this focus? Well, the importance of sharing the word, the opposition that comes, that Jesus is greater than our storms, that he can speak a word and he has power over natural law, that God is supernatural. Look at Mark 5, Mark 5:1. They came to the other side of the sea, of the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Today's storm is meant to build up the faith that you're going to need tomorrow. I want to tell you, this is a man with an impossible situation. He could not control it. He could not overcome it. It had him in bondage. No one around him could help him. He was surrounded with death, hanging out in the tombs. He was unsubduable. No one had strength. And when people are hopeless, they cry out, they hurt themselves, and they hurt others. They were surrounded by death. Again, just to remind you, Jesus began this journey with a parable in Mark 4. The importance of spreading the life-giving, mighty word of God. The birds came to steal it. The sun scorched it. Weeds tried to choke it up. But God was Lord over it. It's not about getting out of your storm. It's about your storm preparing you for where God is taking you. You know what? Where we're being sent in your life, you may be sent to shoo some birds away. You ever done that? You ever walked out and had to shoo some birds away? I do that sometimes. I've had a bird feeder in the back of my deck, and I'd put out the seed for the birds, and I had an annoying squirrel. You ever had a squirrel get into your bird seed? And so I got tired of chasing my... So I started... I got a dog. I let the dog chase it. And there are times you got to kind of shoo away the one who tries to steal the seed. There are some times in life that we have people that we try to encourage. It's hard to encourage them. And I want you to know that sometimes it's not a natural encouragement. It's a spiritual encouragement that they need, which means spiritually you need to shoo some birds away. Well, how do I do that? You pray. You take authority in the name of Jesus. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers enthroned in high places. Spiritual forces of darkness. Jesus had this journey, this teaching that began, and then life happens. It's not about getting out of your storm. It's about your storm preparing you for where God is taking you. And so as we confront the kingdom of darkness, as we have to pull some weeds, we do this in the power of God's Spirit. That's what this encounter on the midst of the sea happens. You, my church family, are on a mission. And your storm may not be a distraction to your destiny, but it might be a preparation for what God has for you in the future. Now, just imagine this. How do you think the disciples may have reacted had they not just seen the power of Jesus in the boat? Okay? Now, this was a Gentile area, which next week we're going to really lean into chapter 5. And so they are already out of their comfort zone. How many of you love getting pulled out your comfort zone? We can sign up for that class. Yeah. They should have just learned that Jesus was in control of things that seem out of control. Church family, don't forget the lessons of the storm. Again, last week we realized that storms reveal. This week we see that they teach us and they propel us into service. So here, this has just been a big setup for next week. I hate doing that to you. But let's stand to our feet. And if you're in a storm of life, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God's perspective can come to you as we journey through. Let's pray together. Would you join me? Father God, I thank you so much again for your word to us today. Thank you, God, that you are a God who is greater, not only than the storms in our life, but God, you actually use these things. I pray, God, that that we would have our eyes open to that great understanding that ours is not the only boat on the stormy sea. God, forgive us of being so self-centered and so selfish, and help us to understand that there is a purpose, that literally you can use that boat that we're clinging to as a pulpit, that it can be a platform for us to declare of your sovereign works, of your enduring presence. And God, I pray that the storms in our life would be preparation for the next season.
The First Christian Church
of Pittsfield
is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with a life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I pray, God, that we would have that understanding
and it would
change our perspective, that we're not so focused on
The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield.
So have
our
your
phone
way,
number
God.
Is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.